Hello. Sierra, you gonna say hey to the folks?
Hello, how are y'all tonight?
Well, hope they doing all right. I mean, we are back. Sierra, big sister. I mean, Sierra, little sister.
Yeah, I'm Shemai, little sister.
Big sister. We got the millennial baby sister and the zennial big sister. And it's been a while. It's been a while since we recorded. So much has gone on. I think our last recording was back in May.
Mm-hmm.
May of this year, May 2020. It is now the beginning of November 2020. We are in the election season, and right now, I mean, it's still a little up for grabs, but it's looking like we might have a new president.
I hope so.
What were the numbers when we checked them just a minute ago?
253 and 217.
253 Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Biden Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And to what?
To... Is it 213 or 217?
213, 217, whatever.
Let me check.
Trump and, what's it, the dang old vice president? Trump
I can't
guy?
Remember. That's just shade.
It is shade. And what we wanted to do is, you know, we're not going to keep y'all for long. We just wanted to do a little Tim's and Teddy reboot and come back and kind of discuss what's been going on, late summer into early fall, and check in with folks on a spiritual level, see how everybody's doing. And this episode of Tim's and Teddy, we're going to be talking Tim's and Teddy's. We're going to be discussing kind of like, me and Sierra just couldn't figure out the word for it. I guess I'm going to settle on the word intersection.
Intersection.
The intersection of politics in America as it relates to black love and the black family.
Mm-hmm. I done gave the orange man 4 extra points.
Who? You did?
Donald. He actually has 213, not 217. So the second quote was correct.
And we right now in North Carolina are in what I like to call a light red state. So Our numbers have not been officially counted yet, but it looks like we are still Trump Nation.
It could flip.
I mean, it could, because it's light red, but don't look like it. I mean, everything else, and look at the map. Like, the map is so, like, just looking at the map, vote-wise and state-wise, I mean, he's got a huge following, as we knew already. I mean, it's not that surprising, but sometimes, like, just looking at all of this red, the sea of red in the middle, is like, wow.
But other than, like, Texas and Florida, I hate to say this about somebody's town, it's these really rural, like, podunks,
yeah,
places.
Mm.
And then two,
they gonna come for you.
It's
for
the
that.
It's yeah. The illusion. It's the illusion of the map and how the size of each individual state doesn't really represent the number of people who live there.
Yeah,
and the, like, look how tiny New York
electoral
is.
Votes. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and think about all the people that live there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then Biden takes Cali. Huge.
Yeah, but Trump takes Texas. Huge.
He does take Texas, but when you actually zoom into the map on some of these states where Trump has taken the electoral vote, It was really close.
True. I mean, it's been neck and neck the whole time, though. I will say that. It's been close on either side.
On either side. But to say, you know, I'm just saying, even in Texas, you have some places that were still dark blue, even though the entire state ended up being red.
I mean, backing up, you know, this has been a very interesting election, because we got two candidates, Trump and Biden, and it's been one of those, maybe the only one in my lifetime of voting. I mean, I've been voting since, what, how old are we when you vote?
18.
And I'm 38, so I've been voting for 20 years, and I think this is the first election that I've seen where people just really felt like they were choosing the lesser evil.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, no really good choice.
No good choice.
Just, let's get on board and choose the lesser evil. In the Black community, that kind of posed a problem, because I know, just speaking with, you know, other Xennials who happen to be Black, it's almost like this feeling of, how can I say this? People want to be a little bit more advanced than what we are as a culture. I think that right now in 2020, we should be advanced. But the reality of it is that we're not advanced. And so just like back during the Civil Rights movement and during that time frame, how we as a Black culture had to present a united front. It's kind of the same way now. And I think that Black people are a little bit upset about that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they want to be more individualized. They want to have more of an individual say. For instance, there are a lot of Black people, especially Black males. I think as far as Black females are concerned, it's pretty much across the board. You know, we stand with Biden. Very reminiscent of the 2016 election, where 94-95% of the Black female vote did not vote for Trump.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we kind of present that united front.
Mm-hmm.
And we can kind of delve into that a little bit,
like, no matter
this
what
discussion.
Not him.
Right. But when we look at our Black males, that isn't necessarily the case. Maybe, I don't know,
for
I
those who numbers, are voting,
I think the numbers will show that they're presenting a united front, but behind closed doors, I hear a lot coming from our Black males of, like, maybe it's just this whole not having a good choice. Like, I heard a lot of, I just don't even want to vote. I just don't even want to vote. You know
what
I mean?
And a lot of people are coming from this woke place of, like, voting doesn't matter. Quote unquote woke, you know. Mm-hmm. Voting doesn't matter. Both of them are bad. Mm-hmm. Neither of them are going to be my president. This sort of attitude of, you know, the government no longer runs me.
Well, let's start there. As far as voting being our civic duty, and as far as voting being something that the people that came before us literally died over, this right to vote, this right for suffrage, right? Mm-hmm. Where do you stand, Sierra, as far as, like, would anything make you not vote and just sit at home?
I'm the type of person who, I'm gonna participate. I'm going to participate. Okay. I'm the type of person who, I don't want to be in a position where I could have done something and I chose not to. It's for me, it's a no harm, no foul situation. Like,
oh, I see.
If you just...
what would it hurt?
Go
what
do it.
What does it hurt? Yeah, what does it hurt?
What does it hurt to do it?
Right.
But it could hurt this, that, and the third to not.
Oh.
For me, it's like...
Okay.
For me,
I never really think about it like that, so that's interesting.
Like you said, people died for this right. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was necessarily the right to vote, but... something you alluded to earlier, the right to just have the freedom to do as I please, to have the same liberties as my brothers and sisters. Like, if I'm going to keep building things in my Black communities and you're going to keep burning it down and dismantling it, then you're going to give me my freedom, my liberties, and a piece of the pie, at the very least. Hmm. And, you know, I believe in the wolf in sheep's clothing mentality and plan of attack when it comes to dealing with the systemic oppressions of mainly Black folk, but, you know, minorities in general, the oppressed in general. Because, you know, a lot of Black people say, why can't we just go build our own nation or build our own stuff? And we have in the past. You can research and you can find in history
they burnt it to
where
the ground.
We have, and they burnt it to the ground. So mm-hmm. now we're in a mental warfare. Mm-hmm. It's not physical. Mm-hmm. Like the revolution is not going to be televised this time. It's not going to look the same. Mm-hmm. We're fighting with Silicon Valley, and we're still. This is still a slave system.
Very much so.
Social media to the polls, mm-hmm. it's still a slave system.
But I will say that I do appreciate, in a spiritual sense, the dismantling of the system. It is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like the dismantling is happening, whether it's COVID, whether it's, you know, a rise in entrepreneurship in the Black community, whether it's just having the discussions that we're having. I think a lot of people in the Black community, when it came down to this time frame of this election, did not appreciate if they had a different stance or if they had questions. They almost felt like they were attacked. Simply put, like, let's say somebody is like, well, how bad is Trump in comparison to Biden, right? And Harris. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at the history of Biden and him coming off sometimes as aloof and his political views and how he voted and the agendas that he pushed against the Black man,
yeah,
specifically,
mm-hmm.
and we can throw Harris in there too, with that stuff.
Because where's her?
They Black did have. They were vocal about. I just don't know. Like, is Trump really that bad in comparison to Biden? They were vocal about that, and a lot of them, when they were vocal about that, got shut down immediately. It was a lot of shame. It was a lot of people saying, how could you say that? Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And they felt attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, especially when it comes to Black men feeling attacked, it's this thing of like, well, either I just won't do the shit. I won't vote. I won't vote. Forget it all. Or I'm going to be rebellious in a sense. And I'm going to cast a damn vote for Trump.
Or Kanye. Or myself.
And so it was emotional. It was emotional, whether people want to admit it or not. This election has been emotional.
Yeah.
And tiresome. And then you add into the fact that we were in Mercury retrograde, mm-hmm. and there was a full moon, mm-hmm. and there was Halloween, and there was the, you know, we got an extra hour. It's a lot going on. COVID still
intersections.
Here. People are, you know, sick. The schools, that's day in, day out, like, our households are a mess. And if anybody wants to dispute the fact that politics, the government, whatever, plays a role in our families, Black and white, you really can't dispute it when you look at it like that. Like, the outside is really playing a role what's going on in the inside. And I think our strength comes from where we can recognize that, number one, and number two, build structures and foundations so that's not so much so.
Mm-hmm. Those are really good points you bring up. I know I saw a meme to lighten the mood a little bit, but also to bring it home. I saw a meme and it had a picture of Biden and a picture of Trump. And it was like, how would you like your systemic racism served? Mm. You know, and it was like slowly.
Wow.
And in policy or blatantly.
I mean, when you put it like that.
Like, would you rather just know who your enemy is and deal with him and deal with his blatant disregard and disrespect? Or do you deal with someone who, like you said, has pushed policies
mm-hmm.
that are literally against
mm-hmm. with a smile on his face?
Because
mm-hmm. he's a fun guy, right? Biden, you look at Biden and you can tell that he's attempting at
least. Look a little spooky to me.
Well, you know what I mean.
A little ghostly.
Like, it's something about him that his demeanor and his character reminds me a little bit of like Bush. Like that aloof, mm-hmm. that I ain't worried about nothing.
Almost like you're not even here for real.
Right. And Sierra brings up a big point of if he were to be elected president, which it looks like could possibly really, really happen,
yeah.
He would be our oldest.
Yes, he will be the oldest to be elected president of the United States.
How old is he? Because he don't look
that
old.
No lo sé. Let me find out.
I mean, I guess some people would probably say he might look old, but to me, he don't look that old. But maybe that's just that good old boy demeanor of his that makes me think he doesn't look that old. I don't know. Did you watch
him? He's 77.
Is he?
He is. He was born in 1942, November 20th. He's the last day of Scorpio.
He's a Scorpio. Have we ever had a Scorpio president?
I'm sure.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize he was a Scorpio. Y'all, we about to have a Scorpio for president?
That's 77. He's finna be 78.
He sure is. He got a birthday coming up, child. Where was he born?
So that point you brought up earlier.
Oh, that's why that state was so important.
That point you brought up earlier about Kamala that we have to talk about is really...
That is very...
Yeah. It really has to be discussed because...
Yeah. So Sierra brought up a big point about him being the oldest president. And... with everything else going on in the world, like, you know, people get sick. And God forbid, I mean, I wouldn't want anything to happen to anybody. You know what I mean? But he's getting on up there. And, you know, God forbid anything happened to him and he's no longer with us. That would mean that his vice president would then become, you know, commander-in-chief
mm-hmm.
of this free world that mm-hmm. we know as America. And we would then have our very first, not only woman president, but yeah. black woman president. Mm-hmm. A double whammy.
Yeah.
Is America ready for a black female president?
Are they ready for a black female vice president? I mean, who cares if you're ready? Because it looks like math is saying it's coming. Math, just pure mathematics and algorithm is saying it's on the way. In some hours.
I mean, and then the plot thickens because not only is she black and female, but she is black and female and married to a white man.
She is. She is.
I mean, my theory is this, you know, when we bring in this whole quote unquote intersection of black love as it relates to politics, you know, me and Sierra was discussing how some of our black male celebrities were very vocal about not voting for Biden, which, I don't know. I think the masses assumed that that meant that they were going to vote for Trump. Maybe that didn't mean that. Maybe that just meant that they either weren't going to vote or were just going to put a random name on the ticket. I don't know. But then there were some, whether they recanted after or not, but there were some who were vocal about, hey, I'm going to be voting for Trump.
Right.
50 Cent has said something about it. Ice Cube has said something about it.
He and Wayne have a picture together.
Oh, God. Lil Wayne
with their thumbs up.
Out there.
So I'm pretty sure Wayne casted his T-R-U-M-P.
And
vote.
So, you know, the reasoning that these black male celebrities have given for voting for Trump is, I'm not necessarily, quote unquote, this black man that you're calling me, but I am a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
I am a man with money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they feel as though them being in a certain tax bracket, they feel better protected under the administration of Trump.
Absolutely. The athletes have sat around and had table talk about that. The pro football players.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Have talked about that. How voting for, you know, the Democratic Party basically means 37% plus. Mm-hmm. Taxes. My mm-hmm. $1 million check is 630 mm-hmm. something. Like, mm-hmm. what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Give me my money. And so, like, bringing it back to my theory is, you got this black male or this black masculine energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who now has money? Black masculine energy with money and status. And I think they feel like they have a certain level of protection as well. And can therefore really stand in that power and stand in that masculinity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though what they're saying to us is, oh, you know, I want to vote for whoever because it is, that will more protect my assets. But what I think what they're not saying is what we really need to be listening to. And what they're not saying is, if something happens to Biden, right, then you have Harris, who will now be our president. And I think that that's a no-go for a lot of these black males with a lot of money. They don't feel safe with her. I think a lot of them have a, even if it's not a whole lot, maybe like 10% of them maybe feel a little emasculated by this black woman with a political black background that has incarcerated a very good number of black men,
mm-hmm.
and who is also married to a white man.
Who was also married to a white man.
So I think that there's something there that's not being said, if you know what I mean. Now, that's my theory. That's my theory.
I don't think it's a theory.
It's a soft theory because I can't prove that. I can't prove how people feel. You
know
what I
mean? I don't think it's a theory.
All I know is that it popped into my head and I wasn't able to let it go. But,
I mean, think about how black men dogged Oprah.
Dogged her.
You know,
Gail.
Look how they talk to the mother of their children, their wives, their girlfriends.
I mean, we've spoken about this on Tims and Teddies before.
I'm just saying, the blatant disrespect is apparent and it's there. So it's not a theory.
But you know where that comes from, though. That comes from a lot of our men feeling they have. And it's not just our men, you know, it's men across the board. It's that masculine energy of saying, if I protect it, if I provide for it, then it is mine. I possess it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that I possess should then turn back around and incarcerate me, emasculate me, make me feel less than, not give me a leg up. So it is an entitlement to feminine energy, specifically black feminine energy, to be its boost, to be its for lack of better words, mother. Mm-hmm. Okay?
But you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah, this love that never goes away. This love that I can do no wrong. You know, I can take a poop in the middle of the street and she's supposed to say, babe, you poop in the middle of the street like none other.
Yeah.
Good job. Mm-hmm. Let me clean that up for you. Mm-hmm. Bullshit. You know? Everybody doing that. Anyway. Listen, y'all. Listen. We are not mean people. We're not. Usually, we're really, like, upbeat and lively.
No.
But, like, tonight, we
No.
And that full moon got my head hurting.
This is us.
And it's electoral time and stuff.
This is us.
And we are stressed.
This is us.
I'm sad.
This is us, you for know? Real.
I love black men. Mm-hmm. And people would listen to me and be like, oh, you just saying that. Let me tell you something. Black men have a saving grace and an invaluable space in my heart. Why? Because Sterling Easter raised me.
Yep.
Okay.
Sterling Easter raised me.
And because of that man.
And can't forget about Mitchell Tyson.
Mitchell Tyson.
I had to go over there and spend weeks. He had to take me to and from school, you know, when my parents
and
were going
trip. And let's not forget our namesake, James Perry Easter.
He watched me too.
Hey. So, listen, you know, we've had really, really good men in our lives. We come from, I feel like, a very solid legacy. These men were not perfect, but these men were present and aware.
They ran away from nothing.
From nothing. Especially not when it came to their families. They were standing up men, you know? And so, like, we get it. You know what I mean? Like, we definitely get it, but we also get when it's not being enacted correctly. And I just feel like when it comes to politics in America and black love, it's kicking our asses right now.
I think that we would be doing the topic an injustice if we didn't say, or we didn't bring it home to the fact that when you were raised by black men who showed you the capacity of a black man, like, to its fullest extent, maybe not even. I mean, I feel like we still haven't broken through the cement and glass ceilings. But I think, you know, just for lack of better terms, I know me, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
Straight up. And I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit bitter. Maybe it is some bitterness there, but it comes from hurt and disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing that pops into my head is the 2016 election, where you had 94-95% of black women who were a united front. You know what I mean? Like, no, we don't want them there. And the numbers show that. Versus your white women, who, what was it, like 53% voted for the Trump administration.
Totally split.
Who, and most of the 53% were married white women who followed their husband's lead, mm-hmm, of voting for the Trump administration. Now you have in 2020, basically the same number, but up a bit. I think the number now is like around 56%, and the numbers haven't even all been counted.
They have their own little cohort now this election, though. Like, they even had Women for Trump signs,
yeah,
and their own campaign.
Yeah, we saw that coming back from the mountains when we, mm-hmm, went the other day.
When we went to Otter Falls.
Otter Falls, yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I think that I think that masculine energy, when it comes to masculine energy, the benefit of Trump is that it's in your face. You don't have to wonder about it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, when it comes to feminine energy, it's a lot of, we don't really know where anybody, I mean, they could stand either way. Like, we still don't know. I mean, we could guesstimate just from the numbers that, hey, this woman voted for Trump. And then again, I mean, I got posed with the question the other day, like, is it any of my business? Is it my business who somebody votes for? Is it my business? Ain't my business?
No.
Do you feel like, let's say you have a couple, married or unmarried, I don't, committed, a committed couple, a black couple, do you think that if you ask your counterpart, your partner, who they voted for, do you think that they are entitled to tell you or no?
I think that totally depends on the dynamics of your relationship. Which is an entire another, that's an entire topic in and of itself. But some couples believe in giving each other that space and that privacy, whereas others believe in being complete open books. Mm-hmm. And their peace and their love reside there. So it literally depends on the relationship.
I don't know.
Would you want to know?
Absolutely, because I feel like it would be a house divided. Like, I think that still kind of sticks with me, because I realize what, you know, our ancestors and forefathers went through, and it was very important that we presented a united front. Mm-hmm. Division is where the ickiness kind of comes in. And I feel like if you have some people, when it comes to somebody like Trump in office, who's blatantly disrespectful, has a lot of racist undertones to everything he does, and you don't know where that person stands, and that's a very intimate relationship, then how intimate is it if you don't even know where they stand politically? Why would it be a secret? You know what I mean? But I will say that if one person votes one way and the other person votes another way, I think that the respect should still be there. But I do think that you should be able to know and talk about it. Because in the black community, it is what it is. Politics should not play as big a role in our lives as it does. But the reality is that it does.
It does.
That's just the reality. Maybe one day we'll see a day where that's not true. But that's just what it is for us. We got brought over here due to... We're in America right now because of politics. Mm-hmm. Or else we would still be in Africa.
A marriage is political. So
a union
is political.
There you go.
So politics is in our home. It exists in all of our relationships,
but
right?
Maybe that's where we should be starting then. You know, with all of this talk about basically breaking away, maybe that's where we need to be starting, to break away from this idealism, this politicized whatever. Maybe if we start in our own relationships breaking away from the politics of America, then maybe we would be better suited to actually succeed the way that we want to succeed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I was talking to my partner earlier, and I basically said to him, you know, everybody keeps talking about black people, minorities coming together, forming our own nation. Mm-hmm. And we're watching history repeat itself every 4 years. So we have red against blue, red against blue. Mm-hmm. There's a Green Party. Mm-hmm. There's a Libertarian Party. Mm-hmm. There is the chance to write in mm-hmm. a vote. Mm-hmm. So if we can go to the polls in mass numbers and turn them out like this, mm-hmm. why can't we all agree on something that unites black people, that unites minorities?
Because just like I
and
said.
And flip they table.
Because people are not, the black culture and the black masses are not as advanced as they want to be yet. I'll say it again. Yes, we should be there, but we're just not. So those quote unquote old ideas of presenting a united front and everybody being on the same page would actually benefit us right now. But people don't want to do that anymore. People are like, we're tired of that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what Malcolm and Martin and everybody did. And it ain't really got us nowhere. Mm-hmm. So let's try something different. But the thing is that it does get you somewhere.
It does.
And we haven't quite gotten out of the benefit of that yet. So let's do that until we can do something else. But people just don't want to do that anymore.
I think we're too ignorant to see that it's already being done. All we have to do is organize the thoughts, organize the scatteredness, you know, organize the chaos. There is huge strength in being everywhere at one time. Mm-hmm. If we could all respect each other's place, mm-hmm. as minorities in society.
And what we do well.
And what we do well individually.
Yeah.
Whether it's climb the white man's ladder, mm-hmm. until we can hop, skip over to our own, mm-hmm. and continue to climb. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, I grew up how I grew up and I gotta get it how I live until I raise enough money to not have to do that anymore. Then, you know, you do what you do. As long as you cause nobody any harm,
right.
or whatever, and you remain steadfast in your faith and, you know, of God. But we have so much division between everybody thinking they know the right way to attack a system, mm-hmm. and every single way is the right way, mm-hmm. and we have to, our unity has to reside in that chaos, mm-hmm. you know, every movie we've seen regarding Black people and how they were able to turn the system and turn the table to sway our way has, there's always been somebody the rest of the Black folk might call an Uncle Tom.
Right.
There's always been the rebellious group, mm-hmm. you know? There's always been the ones who can maneuver the education field and the field of corporate America. Mm-hmm. There's always been the one who can maneuver politics. Mm-hmm. And their strength in every single person and the part that they play.
Right.
And every single person in your community is to be respected. And we have to find one thing that we can all agree on that can unite us. Mm-hmm. All white people don't like each other.
Right.
But they respect their position enough to maintain it, mm-hmm. against everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they ain't giving it up without a fight either.
Like, me and Sally Sue might fight later when we leave here, but you not gonna beat us while we up in here together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great point. That's a great point. It reminds me of, like, the beginning of the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, you had your protesters and you had people that may have been doing work behind the scenes. And instead of respecting both avenues, you had both avenues kind of beating up on each other. Well, you should be out here protesting. Well, you should be behind the scenes doing such and such and such. Well, everybody ain't good at everything. Mm-hmm. So just respect people's positions,
right.
and, you know, what they do well, and move together. But we should be communicating more, and we should be a little bit more tactful in the way that we communicate, and respectful of what people actually do bring to the table, instead of so much pointing fingers, mm-hmm. and this, that, and the other. But I don't know, we digress. I did want to bring up before we,
as we close out the first segment of episode 7, discussing Black love and its intersection with politics in America, we just wanted to leave you all with this question. Concerning unity, union, the United States of America, the divine union of a committed relationship or a legal marriage, this key word of union, unity, united, what does that mean to you all, especially amongst your most intimate of relationships? Do you feel like we as a Black community are presenting a united front at this time? Did we present a united front when it comes to the election overall? And are we unified within our communities as well as within our most intimate unions? It's a question that came up a lot whenever Sierra and I were discussing things in this episode. And, you know, we just wanted to leave you all with that question, something to ponder on, because we think that it's important. We're going to head on over to the second segment of Tim's and Teddy's episode 7 after this short break, this short sponsored segment. And in the second segment, we're going to start to talk about kind of like Black pop culture and the quote unquote divine unions that we put on a pedestal. Naturally or unnaturally, that's not for me to decide. That's definitely for everybody to decide on their own. But look, like, what unions, what marriages, what committed relationships do you all look to as motivation to keep you going, or as, you know, divine, supreme examples of what Black love and Black union should be, and start to think about how these unions create a framework for us in our own lives, and how that transfers to the politics of America. And Sierra and I bring up two unions that are, I guess, freshly on everyone's mind, in the United States, maybe even outside of the United States, and that's the union of Will and Jada, Will Smith and Jada Smith, as well as the Carters, Beyonce and Jay-Z. Do you look to these celebrity couples as something that you can aspire to be within your own personal relationships, intimate relationships, or not? Is it something that we should be, you know, not doing, something that we should be not paying as much attention to? Do you look at that framework as more of a distraction or something that's actually positive? So just a few things to think about as we enter into the second segment. If you have been with us this far, we thank you for listening. And don't forget to, if the spirit moves you, don't forget to leave us a little voicemail here or a comment, or you can shoot us the email, what have you. Like I said, if the spirit moves you. Thanks for listening, and we'll check in at the end of the second segment. Mm-hmm. 2016, when Trump was elected, we had a very, very, very beautiful visual album, and it was titled Lemonade. And to be honest, I've always been appreciative of Beyonce. I think she does amazing work. I think she's a very hard working entertainer. But I got a brand new level of respect for her as an artist when I saw the Lemonade visual album. Mm-hmm. And then we fast forward to 2020, and we didn't get a visual album this time, but it was a new couple.
We got a table talk.
Yeah, spotlight. And that was, you know, the Will and Jada debacle, and we got a new word. I guess that word has always been in the dictionary, but now it's, you know, entanglement. But I bring up that point to say, I don't know, Sierra, would you call it a distraction? Would you? I just thought it very interesting to see the representation of Black love that we had on a huge celebrity level. When you talk about Jay-Z and Beyonce, when you talk about these unions, you know, these unions that we kind of put on a pedestal as being very solid, very successful. And in 2016, we
I guess Lemonade came out around April, May of 2016, we realized that, hey, you know, Beyonce's actually been cheated on for quite some time. And was able to heal from that and use art to do what she had to do with that. And marriage still stayed solid, you know, from the outside looking
in. As far as we know.
And then in 2020, I mean, we've been celebrating Will and Jada's relationship for a long time. So to see that happening to them.
I actually didn't.
You didn't celebrate their marriage? No.
I didn't see them as the prototype couple or anything to try to emulate or use as a model. I never saw that.
I think the Zennials did, like my generation did, because we're a little close. I mean, they're a little bit older than us.
Yeah.
But a little closer to their age, and we were able to see a blended family that actually worked.
Yeah.
You know, you know, the age of blended family is, I mean, we in it. This is it.
Yeah. I think for my generation, we were so desensitized to their marriage because...
Well, don't we think see y'all so generation many... is a little decent type of marriage goodness. Altogether?
Yes, but well, I'm just bringing up media and, you know, the industry and what it does to black people and specifically male-female black couples relationships. You know, I've seen more pictures of Jada and Tupac in my lifetime than I've seen of her and her actual... husband, as far as what's trending or what's being put out there. Now, if you go Google her, of course, you're gonna see her with her family and her husband. But I'm just saying, what's pressed to the general public is her past ties to Tupac. And I think for me, almost subconsciously, it's disrespectful
to her husband.
And the fact that it's gone on for so long and, you know, she doesn't have any control over what the major platforms decide to do or what individual people decide to do with their own accounts. But just to constantly, to know that someone's married and to constantly release images and footage of them with someone else.
I think it was done on
purpose. It's just weird.
I think it was done on purpose. And I think that it kind of, you know, goes along with my point of using black love and black union and the black family and the destruction of such as a distraction. Whenever we really need to be unified. And that distraction is always has this undertone of like, like, go back to Lemonade. Oh, okay, well, you can't trust the black man because, you know, he's a womanizer and he don't know how to sit his ass down nowhere and he used to sell drugs and, oh, he had to go and get the good girl and he done cheated on her and, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's got that undertone to it. And then you fast forward to 2020 and, oh, now all of a sudden, well, you can't trust the black woman either because, you know, she's just gonna go and do what's best for her. But in the back of her mind, she's really in love with somebody else, but she can't be with him because, you know, he was in the street and got itself killed, and you know what I mean. So like, it's just interesting. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know how these major election years we have, and just to see them almost trying to knock whatever they can off the off of a pedestal as much as possible, and then to know that we actually have the possibility of not only a black and female vice president, but who has a big chance of actually being president if, God forbid, something happens to Biden. And the media is a piece of work. And I just think that we should be paying attention.
Propaganda.
I cannot tell anybody how to feel about that. But all I'm saying is open your eyes. and pay attention to what is meant to distract you.
I'm gonna put it like this. This past week, this entire election time, I have not been on social media. I deleted the apps from my phone. So that's where I was with propaganda and with the media.
Well, you know, Instagram actually disabled their hashtags.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, I wouldn't know.
I don't remember the actual wording of the notification, but something like this, disabling their hashtag so that they don't basically fall victim to propaganda during this time. Right. So, I don't know, Sierra, as far as, you know, trying to close this out, like, we know what Trump has been, and a lot of people are saying, you know, in trying to say something positive about Trump, they're like, oh, you know, well, he did kind of handle the whole, you know, COVID, corona thing pretty well. And I'm like,
how do you feel about that statement as a nurse?
Where? Like, what has he done? A $1,200 check? You can literally spend that in 2 minutes.
I mean, other countries are getting a few thousand dollars per month during this time. Just to put it into perspective.
I don't like the dude. Period.
What really turns me off about him as far as his administration is concerned is foreign affairs. And I think that when talking politics and playing into politics, you have to do your research and you have to understand which way the table is shifting each time. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about what Trump does for the tax cuts of the rich and the top 1%. But I personally did not vote for him because of foreign affairs. Mm-hmm. I live here. Mm-hmm. My family lives here. My kids are gonna live here until they don't have to anymore. And that man messes with other people like none other.
Ain't he messy?
Like, these people are about to play with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They already don't like us. Mm-hmm. They already don't like us. I was studying abroad during Trump's campaign, the first time he was elected. And the way other countries talk about Americans. Oh, but my point is, he has completely ruined our relationships with other countries by fornicating with the enemy. And as the president of the United States, you just do not do that. You don't play with the safety of your people. Yeah. There's a lot of things you can play with. But when people have nuclear weapons, you go somewhere and you sit down.
You know, I just felt like his entire administration really showed us what I appreciated about it was it brought out all of the nasty. It was like going to get a massage and you didn't drink your water first. You know what I mean? Like,
I think he was just getting started.
He was.
I would love a front row seat to his comedy show.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't want to pay for that. It's a waste of
money. I didn't say I was going to pay for it.
Oh, okay. For free. Got it.
I said I would go if I was afforded a ticket.
I just, you know, I think the main thing that really hit me, I was watching a special about Michelle Obama the other night and just certain stuff that she had to go through regarding her family her union to a black man, her being a black woman herself, and basically being perfect when she got there, just as the first lady, mm-hmm. not a vice president, you know, not anybody that actually held an office in that place of a White House. But just the fact that she got there and was dang near perfect, and the way they dogged her, just dogged her on a regular basis versus, and I'm gonna compare, you know, I'm gonna compare. Yes, I am. Versus like his wife, you know, Donald Trump's wife, and her imperfections, if we can call them that. I mean, I know some people would be like, don't talk about, you know, what a woman does and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's just the reality of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The naked pictures and, I mean, is she educated at least? Is she an educated woman? I don't know.
Like, I don't know, but I don't believe so.
Just, oh my God. You know, and, you know, just the way that quote unquote America surrounded her and made sure that she was good, and not a whole lot was said that could have been said. But you got this black woman here that completely gave up her career in support of her family and her husband to be the first black commander in chief. So gave up everything, you know, was damn near perfect, and they dogged her day after day after day after day. She was ape, she was monkey, she was a man, she was all kinds of stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just not protected, you know? I mean, she had, you know, detail and all of that. And it never happened to her. But not happened to her.
Okay.
But I just, as a black woman, I pay attention to stuff like that. And, you know, people are like, well, you know, don't let it affect you. And, it is what it is, but that type of stuff hurts, you know?
Well, the hate is, it's real and it's intentional, and it doesn't exist unless it has something to feed off of, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. a way to fester. And mm-hmm. so,
get momentum.
Yeah. And so you have to almost welcome it. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to flip the script on life, mm-hmm. and I almost worry when people don't have all of that to say about someone.
Really?
Not in the sense of they should or it's right, but who's not saying anything? Who's not being honest? I mean, you had the first black president. Look at, like you said earlier, look at the color divide of our state. Mm-hmm. Somebody's gonna say something. Mm-hmm. If they're not, then what they sitting around devising a plan on? Mm-hmm. Because we're talking about a black woman who's on her stuff, mm-hmm. you know, holding her head high. If she did have any sense of imposter syndrome, I didn't see it.
Right.
And that is going to be attacked. That's going to be attacked. That spirit, that godly spirit, is going to be attacked.
Now, let's fast forward to 2020. How do you think, you know, if Biden does win this election and Kamala Harris is then our new vice president, how do you think that's going to look for her and her family?
Well, she is married to a white man.
Right. I guess my question is this. Is she afforded protection? That invisible protection that we speak of as women. Is she afforded that protection married to a white man that Michelle Obama is not afforded because she's married to a black man? Do you think that she will get a certain amount of protection because she's married to a white man?
Not from us. And I say that in an unfortunate sense, because I personally feel like she does still deserve that. I mean, as much as the black man doesn't feel accepted, how many times were you still welcome to come back home with your white wife or your white girlfriend, mm-hmm. or your foreign wife or your foreign girlfriend? Mm-hmm. We accept it every day. We look at it every day. It's in our face every day. And your people, your mom still love you.
Right.
So the entertainers, the athletes, you know, the corporate America black men who've quote unquote made it, and switch sides, you've been doing it since the beginning of time. So I feel like it's a lot that can be said on either end of the spectrum regarding her being married to a white man, but I don't think that's a reason to hang her.
Right. I agree. I had another question I wanted to ask you, but I think it slipped my mind. Dang it. Oh, are we black Americans, are we ready for a black female vice president?
It almost feels like it's being stolen from us before we even get it, because there's going to be, like you said, so much overshadowed by the way she's chosen to live her personal life, mm-hmm. and even her political life. Mm-hmm. I mean, the protection she's going to gain mainly is going to be from her white counterpart. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that, but mm-hmm. would she have still, you asked me a question earlier, Shema, would she still be in the same position if her husband were black?
I did ask that question.
You can't neglect the fact that she's a woman in a position, but she's still married to a man mm-hmm. who happens to be white.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, no matter what, and when I say something's going to be stolen from her and from us as a people, no matter what, she's going to always be discredited in some way.
In some way.
Mm-hmm. No matter what. Whether you choose to hang her or not, the world in some way is always going to discredit her because her husband's white or because she didn't take his last name and she's married, you know, or because she chose to serve beside a white man.
Well, I think what they're going to drag her the most about is her history.
That is
her occupational history and how many black men were incarcerated under her, I don't even know the right word for it. I want to say regime, but I feel like that's wrong. I mean, under her pen.
Yeah, her pen.
How's she gonna happen? I mean, because the argument and the theory is going to be, you got where you got by throwing black men under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that's why so many of us and so many of our men were at a standstill when it came to going and voting, because that is a hard pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. It's a very circular moment in the black community, mm-hmm. because that's something that we deal with every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who of our own is selling us out in order to accelerate?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? All I know is that that's hard. And we as a community are gonna have to rectify that. However we rectify that, I just don't want anybody doing it for us.
Yeah.
So before we went further, I wanted to backtrack just a little bit, because I feel like Sierra and I are speaking a lot about Kamala and her relationship to the men around her, but haven't really delved much into who she is. So just on a very like general level, Kamala was born October 20th, 1964, in Oakland, California. She is a Howard grad, so she actually did attend an HBCU. She is a Libra. Okay, so like I said, October 20th, 1964 in Oakland, California. She's got an HBCU background. And her zodiac sign is Libra. I think Kamala's pretty cool. Give her the benefit of the doubt. And if nothing else, being a black female, stand behind her wholeheartedly as much as possible. I also wanted to point out a little bit of numerology. Kamala was born October the 20th. Joe Biden was born November the 20th, making him a Scorpio. So you have two individuals, both born on the 20th day of the month, who could possibly be our new president and vice president in the year of 2020. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. You know, October 20th, November 20th, the year is 2020. I don't know, maybe I'm corny. But anyway, something to think about. And like we were saying before, Joe Biden is a Scorpio, and it looks like we have actually had five Scorpio United States presidents in total. Five Scorpio, five Aquarius, four Cancers, four Capricorns, four Leos, four Libras, four Pisces, four Taurus, three Geminis, three Sagittarius, two Aries, and two Virgo. That is interesting. It's interesting how you come across these little facts. And of course, we know that Trump and his buddy Kanye are both Geminis. I love my Geminis, but Trump, like, you're not doing them any justice right now. Anyway, just a little interlude of some little facts, and we're going to continue on with episode 7 of Tims and Teddies. All right. So we're back. And in order to close, Sierra and I want to tell you guys a story. The story starts in 2008, where the very first black man was voted United States president. Okay? Mm-hmm. Black man raised by a single mother, single white mother in Hawaii. An African father, African heritage, marries a tall, successful black woman from the south side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Together, they graduate from, and both of them graduate from Ivy League schools.
Yeah.
They fall in love, they get married, they have two small kids, and he gets elected in 2008, and everything in the black community is a little happier, you know, put a smile on our face, lets us know, hey, we can do it, you know. Mm-hmm. He serves two terms, and we fast forward to 2016, where now Trump is elected. Okay. Before Trump is elected, I feel like when it came to black love and the black family, what was Obama's, what was his slogan? Yes, we can.
It wasn't yes, we can.
Was it yes, we can?
Was it yes, we can?
I think it was yes, we can.
I think that was the first one. And then the second one.
Something had to do with hope.
With change.
Either way, we used to say that little corny slogan, and the possibilities were endless. I feel like as far as a community, we had this idealism of abundance, and we can. Yes, we can. You know, mm-hmm. If we want this, we can have this. If we want that, we can have that. That traditional family, you know, to see them as a traditional family. I mean, for God's sakes, like, Michelle completely left her job.
She was working at the University of Chicago. Was a renowned lawyer in her area. She left her job and she became mom in chief, is what she called it. So super traditional, you know. Man is the head of the household. The woman is in service to him and therefore in service to the household, you know. Kind of that traditional family structure that at least us as little girls have been taught along the way, okay? You give up certain things as a woman and as a wife because this man is worthy, right? Because he can provide and he can protect and he can hold it down.
Right.
All right. And so it's okay to give of yourself in this way because, is it ever okay to give up yourself in that way? We still gotta figure that out.
I think it is okay.
This is a reason for the feminist movement and all of that. And it's, I think it's okay too.
I think it is okay. That's what
would argue against that. But we are digressing from the story. No. We don't tell the people a story.
No. I'm just saying it's okay, but the problem is the lack of reciprocation.
Reciprocation.
I'm not gonna do all of that, and you not doing all of that. That's the problem.
Right.
It ain't got nothing to do if I'm willing to do it.
You're right.
We're supposed to both be of service to one another. So if you ain't doing it, then why would I keep pouring out of my cup and you keeping what you got and taking mine?
When it came to that marriage, on the outside looking in, Barack was doing his job.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right.
And that's my point.
And so she didn't have no problem giving up hers.
Right.
In order to service the family.
Exactly.
For the betterment of that family. Okay. And so the idea of lack was nowhere in sight. But maybe it was. Maybe it was festering. And I say that because in 2016, we get this new president. Okay. 94% of black women voted against this man, which means that in a sense of the word, they weren't so much voting. Yes, yes, yes. We were voting against Trump, but what we were voting for was that 8 years that had passed and we couldn't get it back.
Right.
That's what we wanted. You know what I mean? I think that's what we've all wanted. I think it felt so good to see that actually materialize in front of us. Like, damn, this is actually possible.
I mean, people are still living in that time zone. Like, that's still their president.
Yeah. And that's still their first lady. Yeah. So I say all of that to say in 2016, we wake up one morning and Trump is the president.
Literally. Okay. Literally wake up and this man done got the vote.
I remember waking up and being like, huh?
Me too. I was confused.
It felt so weird. Like, it was just a really, really weird feeling. And it paralleled, I wrote a blog post about this, but it paralleled a lot about what was going on in my own personal family situation. Because in 2008, I got married a few days after Barack Obama was elected president. In 2016, by the beginning of 2017, I was divorced. Divorce had been finalized, okay? So this parallel kind of happened for me. And that's why I say, for at least for me, I can't speak for everybody, but when it comes to American politics, it kind of intersects a lot with the black family, okay? On kind of like a spiritual sense.
Yeah. No, I get it. I follow.
But I say all of this in our little story to say, you know, 2016, we got a new president. The president is an absolute jackass.
That was nice.
Just a jackass, you know, just a nasty little something.
But he honest about who he is.
He is, and I think that a lot of the things that were under the surface that were covered up is now brought to the surface, and we have to deal with these things. Racism, man and woman relations, money matters, debts, all of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I say all of that to say, I think for America, it was time to not just put the lipstick on the pig and say, we're presenting this picture, right? But actually deal with certain things that were happening. And in our lives, on the, in this spiritual sense, what will happen is you can go along and you can go along and things can appear okay. And you can kind of put on that front for a while. But eventually, you are going to have to deal with the shit that's underneath that rug.
Mm-hmm.
That you continue to keep tripping over, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's what Trump was for us. The interesting part about that is, look at where it brought us to. That ugliness that's been brought to the surface, especially when it comes to the Black family or race relations in America, we go from the quote-unquote traditional sense of the unified Black family with a Black male lead, a Black woman who's supporting that lead, their two kids, and their few dogs, a couple of little dogs running around. They Black too.
Right.
Okay. And then we transition to, let's take Biden out of the picture, right? Let's pretend like he don't exist. But look at what the Black family now looks like. The quote-unquote Black family now looks like. Who's at the head?
Still the white man.
The Black family?
Oh, you mean...
Take
well,
Biden
I'm
out.
Looking at, I'm looking at Kamala.
No, stay with
we're
me.
Not supposed to be looking at Kamala?
That's who we're looking at. Take Biden away.
She not the... You think she the head of that family?
Absolutely.
You think she running stuff?
I do.
I mean, if we put her in a traditional Black family, yes, we saying that the Black,
okay, even
the
if
Black
she's not,
female
even
is
if
the
she's
head.
Not though, look at what it looks like. What does it look like? What does it look like? Because who's vice president? It ain't her husband. Who's vice president?
That's why
who I, was elected?
She vice was president. Elected, but that's why I say
or could be.
It's gonna her position is gonna always be tainted.
It is.
Because she put a white man on both sides of her.
She did.
And so it looks like you have no power at all.
She does.
She does. I'm not saying that she doesn't.
Uh-huh.
But look at who your man is. Your protector, your leader.
But look.
Yourself, or this white man. That's I'm talking how the Black, how people gonna talk. Like, I get where you coming from. You're completely right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely.
I'm
down
looking
to
at the
fact,
progression.
Down to the
do you
fact
see
that
the progression.
She kept her maiden name and is in a whole marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Everything see? Attached mm-hmm. to her finances, her mm-hmm. power position
mm-hmm.
is in her name.
Her name.
Yep. So I follow you, but look how she sold herself and her ancestry out in the face of others. Because, you know, I'm always going to play devil's advocate and offer the other
mm-hmm.
the other side of things. So I like to look at things holistically. This is going to play out so
interestingly, yeah. But see, I don't know. I would venture to say that she ain't played herself out. I don't know if she's played herself out. I think that Kamala is standing up for Kamala.
But she's for herself.
Okay.
That's going to be an issue for some people.
It is going to be an issue for some people. But how many Baracks you know? How many Baracks you know? How many Sterlinese are still walking the earth?
I mean, I wonder what
Mr. Tyson gone.
What did it take for him to get there, though? We're talking about 50, 60-year-old men who have passed away and gone. What did it take for them to get there? Because our childhood wasn't perfect.
I know one thing that it took was a bona fide union.
But what did the woman put up with to get to stand beside the man long enough for both of them
we
to get
might
to that
not
point?
Ever know. We
See
might
what
not
I'm saying?
Ever know.
We I might feel not like ever we're willing we to put up with so much less. And it ain't nothing wrong with that at all.
I don't think so at all, Sierra.
You don't think so?
No.
Are you serious?
You think we are willing to put up with less?
No.
Or more?
No, I'm saying we're willing to put up with less.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm talking about the women in the past.
They put up with more.
Yes.
I think so.
And so you don't think that helped the black man to progress, to become the first black president of the United States of America?
I think it's different types of stuff because it's a different world. I think back in the day, you were definitely going to deal with cheating. You were definitely going to deal with infidelity. But what you wasn't going to deal with is having to pay all the bills and be cheated on. Really?
I ain't never putting up with that.
Really?
That'll never fly with me.
Pay all the bills and be cheated on?
Because you still feel less than.
Yes.
So you got to go feel
the
whole.
The spirit of lack is a mug. It's a mother. And until we get out of that, until we can crawl out of that, I don't know if it's going to get any better. I just don't. But you know what? My whole story was messed up. But y'all get the gist. You know, Sierra and I wanted to come on, do a little reboot of Tims and Teddies. We'll see you again next month. I don't know what we're going to talk about next month. We'll have to figure it out. But good talk, Sierra.
Good talk. Talk.
Black
good
love talk. And politics and the intersection of the two.
Intersection.
So, you know, hopefully when we wake up in the morning, we'll have a new president and, you know, at least we can start to plan how this is going to look out. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Who knows? I don't know.
I mean,
it really is the lesser of two evils. It just feels like a shit show.
I voted though.
Ain't no peace. What a peace at?
Inside yourself.
You gotta find it, I guess. Yeah. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks for coming to... what is this? Episode 7 of Tims and Teddies? Yeah, episode 7 of Tims and Teddies. Peace out.
Bye, y'all. See y'all next time.
See you next time.